successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the world of boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
You can't have five people or 10 people in a boat.
So if it is a family of four or five, like husband, wife, and kids, they're going to have to pick two of them at a time.
They would, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Greaseball, where did you get the right to tell me how many people can come on my boat? Nobody asked that question.
Whoa, really? It's on the boat or on the dock? Nobody said anything.
Sweetly sailing, darling. Sweetly sailing by the sea. Silver.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate. That is me along with Barry the Boater. And we got Joe from Motor City Boatworks.
How are you?
He finished up the sailboat. It's I guess you just got it covered up, ready for the spring launch to do the sea trials, you said?
Yeah, we always have multiple projects going on inside the boatworks. It's just me. It's my hobby shop. And so I always like to have like one small trailer boat, sailboat going. The projects are fairly simple, and it's a great way to introduce people on certain aspects of boat restoration. And then we always have this monstrous 27-foot pocket trawler here that I'm building inside the shop.
Right.
And it's very complicated, and it's there's a lot of moving parts to it. It's a motor yacht, and it's designed for long, you know, term kind of cruising. It is trailerable also, but that doesn't really impact the complexity of the systems because, you know, it's got solar power and 120 volt and 12 volt and all kind of stuff going on inside there.
But ultimately, and you're setting this thing up to cruise around the world.
Yeah, that's
the wifey.
Well, this boat probably won't go around the world, but we'll definitely, I call this my Great Loop boat.
Yeah.
You know, the Great Loop, route you could take around the eastern half of the United States. And this is the boat that we're going to take that trip on.
Well, we had someone on the show last week, Joe, who's done the Great Loop 4.5 times.
Yeah.
Right.
Half.
And he mentioned something about
By the way, just for the record, that extra half, he didn't sink. It was on the front end. He started halfway through.
Yeah.
I have to clarify that for folks sometimes. Yes, Barry?
He did mention that the boat that does the Great Loop has to have a certain amount of height. It can't be taller than a certain amount. I don't remember what that number was.
Right, so it can't be taller than a certain amount. There has to be what's called the air draft, the distance from the water, you know, to the top of the boat.
Yeah.
In some places, you have to have a boat that has a certain draft, which is the distance from the waterline, you know, to the very bottom of the boat.
Right.
And of course, the route has a lot of different places and options and things you can or cannot do. And and many people don't do the whole loop. They just kind of go and do part of it.
Yeah.
The beauty of having a trailer boat is you can go and start one section of the loop, get to the point where you're done, load it up on the trailer and take it home and put it back in the works so that it's stored, you know, in the off season while you're doing something else.
Yeah.
And
How do you get the trailer there?
Well, you got to go back and you got to get the trailer, and you definitely got to bring it there. There's no question about that. But
or you could pay someone to drive it over and
bring it down. But I learned I had a 30-foot classic fiberglass sailboat from the early 1970s, a beautiful sailboat called an Aalborg 30. And I owned that boat. That's the boat I wrote a book about. And I owned that boat for 8 years. I lived aboard it for a period of time. I took it to the Caribbean, I took it to the East Coast, took it to the West Coast, back and forth cross country, down to the Caribbean and back. Had it in Miami. And one of the things I learned from that boat weighed 10,000 pounds or more. That boat had a 3.5-foot keel. And it required a very special trailer to be able to trailer it. And you had to hire a professional boat mover with a giant lowboy special trailer to move this thing. Mm-hmm. And as my job took me cross country to different locations and into the Caribbean and wherever, you got to bring your boat there somehow, and shipping it is expensive, and pulling it out of the water is expensive because it weighs 10,000 plus pounds, and stepping the mast because it's so long, so big, all this kind of stuff costs money because it's not a trailerable boat. And right, Barry, you have a trailerable boat. You bring it home.
Oh yeah.
You got to fix something. You were talking about your transducer broke off or whatever. You're able to kind of fix it, figure out what you want to do. You're not paying a yard to haul the thing out,
correct,
put it back in and doing all this. It really, a trailerable boat, even a big trailer boat, really gives you the ability to do a lot of DIY stuff on the boat. Take your time, figure out what you want to do, big project, small project. You can really do that. Problem is when you have a boat that weighs 16,000, 20,000 pounds,
right,
you're stuck. That's a big boat. There's
very
no doubt
limiting,
about it.
For sure.
And so this, the Alban 27, this boat, when they came from the factory, they weighed about 6,500, 7,000 pounds. I'm going to guess we'll be under 10,000 pounds when I'm done with the boat. And I'm hoping that we'll be very close to the 7,500 empty tanks.
Yeah.
I think we will be, because a lot of the wood and a lot of the bulkheads and a lot of stuff inside the boat has been replaced with composite boat building materials like Kusa board, which is 40% lighter than marine plywood, and so I think, and the engine's, you know, smaller and lighter because it's a modern engine. Mm-hmm. I think we'll be very good on weight.
So 7,500 pounds, or I mean,
I'm guessing 7,500, 8,000 pounds.
That's the sweet spot you're looking for.
Yeah, and then we'll have another. You'll have a trailer that's probably 2,000 pounds. So that's, you know, you're looking at 10,000 pounds that you need to be able to haul. But you can do that with a modern 150 truck, F-150 truck, or
a Honda Ridgeline
250.
Yeah. No,
Black Edition
Ridgeline. But you could tow it with you could tow it with a 250 for a 3/4 ton truck from 10, 15, 20 years ago, no problem.
Right.
And,
You were, right before we went on the air. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I just want to be able to move the boat because it would sure be nice. Oh, maybe do the Great Loop, maybe do part of the Great Loop. And then we say, hey, you know what? This summer or this winter or this fall, whatever, we're going to go pre-stage in the Pacific Northwest so that we can be ready to go do whatever, Alaska, British Columbia. And you pick up the boat, you trailer it, take it where you want, you do it on your own dime.
Right.
And very economical compared to paying somebody, because it's thousands of dollars to do that.
Right.
And this is what gave me the idea that it might be possible to take this boat, put it on the triple axle trailer, and do a roll on, roll off, have it shipped to Europe.
Mm.
Okay. And you roll the trailer just like you would move a car or a caravan or RV. Right. You would, you know, put this thing on there and they take it over and you take it off. Of course, you got to park the trailer somewhere, but you can at least put the boat in the water, go do what you got to do. You know, I don't know. There might be some logistical feasibilities that got to be worked out doing that.
Yeah.
It might be too expensive. Prior to COVID-19, it was not impossible to do that. But it may be cost prohibitive now. I don't know with the.
Well, You set yourself up to give you options. That's the whole idea.
That's what a trailerable boat gives you. It gives you options.
Yeah. Now, you were saying right before we went on the air today, though, some of the little minute things you're trying to navigate right now are just whether you put in USB-A ports or C ports.
Yeah. So, you know, I got ready to put in 12-volt USB outlets, charge your phones, charge whatever. Mm-hmm. And what I wanted was USB-C outlets to do this. And I looked around, and of course, they make them for non-marine applications, right? You can get them for the house, you can get them for your car. But in the marine environment, we need to have generally certain materials, certain quality materials, they need to be done a certain way. Mm-hmm. And finding something that's marinized or suitable for a marine environment can be difficult. And 12 months ago, there was only one type of marinized USB outlet that I could find that was accessible. Now, in Europe, they have some other stuff that we don't necessarily have.
Yeah.
They may have other options, but for us in the United States, using, you know, your big box Chandleries, West Marine, Defender, whatever, there's only certain things that are offered.
Right. Well, you know, once again, if you go to Motor City Boatworks and follow Joe on YouTube, you'll learn these little nuggets, and it could save you thousands, let alone, a big headache when you find out something silly as that could create such a problem. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up for this week. Till next time, remember, whether it is sail or motor,
Life is better as a boater.
Safe boating, everyone.
You barnacle-bitten swab!
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.